Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. It's Friday. Welcome back to Can We Talk Fridays. I am your host, Raz Williams, coming to you live once a week from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Guys, if you have a question or a comment, you can hit us up at 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310, or you may email us at canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. I had a very interesting and liberating week. I went through a pretty serious test, trial, a storm with immense magnitude and devastating proportions that really had me discombobulated for a brief minute. I had to pull myself back and remind myself who I belong to, who has my back. And guys, his name is Jesus. And his father's name is Yahweh, Jehovah, Father God. Needless to say, the situation was worked out, provision was made, and things lined up just lovely. So I just want to say for those of you who may be experiencing some setbacks, some difficult times, some trials, some kind of midnight that has you scared, anxious, nervous, worried, fearful, just stressed out, I'm telling you what I know. Take your eyes off what it looks like and put your 100% trust and faith in God. That he alone is the way maker and will see you through. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't listen to the opinions of others, the haters. Those that the enemy is using against you, but focus on what God has said. Focus on what God has promised. Some of you right now are in situations where it's really bleak. It's about to be over. But give up. No. Trust God. Don't throw in the towel. The same God that helped me, the same God that helped Ronnie, the same God that helped Minister Rodney is available to help you too. And especially for you of those who are not saved, God is there for you too, but you have to invite him in. Anyways, on with the show. There are many people, Christians as well as non-Christians, who have a hunger and a curiosity for the supernatural, mainly because they've not been taught what the Bible says about the supernatural. But what they hear in many cases is that the supernatural is not for us today. Many people do not realize that behind every person, including those supposedly ministers of the gospel, there is a spirit. We as individuals are spirits, but we are also motivated or empowered by spirits. As believers, it should be the Spirit of the living God empowering and impelling us to do what we do. But we also have an enemy, and his name is Satan, who is a master counterfeiter, and he will try to duplicate whatever God does in an attempt to trick people into accepting the counterfeit for the real. That's why we're giving instructions in the Bible to test or prove the spirits. In other words, we are to check the spirits out. Those of you who are saved, pay real attention tonight as we discuss this topic. And those of you who are not believers, that's okay too. We want you to listen in. Call us up if you have a question. So guys, today's show is titled The Importance of Being Able to Discern Spirits. A discerning spirit is the greatest protection we have in this world where truth and error are often mixed up. The ability to separate them is a gift from God. And he has provided everything we need to do so that he, the Holy Spirit, his word, and godly teaching can help us sort through that. Remember, guys, the one who leads us in all truth will always guide our footsteps, and that can be found in John 16:13. So with that said, let me go ahead and introduce, we got a real lovely panel tonight of powerful men of God. I want to go ahead and introduce Minister Rodney back to Can We Talk. Minister Rodney, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm blessed, man. So, Minister Rodney, what do you think of tonight's topic?
I think it's going to be very good, brother. I think it's something that needs to be talked about and something that needs to be brought to the light and get some direction on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like the topic.
Absolutely. Next, we have Ronnie Ambrose is back in the fake. What it do, man?
How you doing, Raz? I'm good.
I'm doing good, Ronnie. How you doing?
I'm all right.
All right. So, Ronnie, what do you think is tonight's topic?
I think it's something that needs to be put on the table. Discerning spirits is, you know, an ability that we have now as believers. You know, we know that there's either the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light, and everything that we come across, we need to discern, you know, exactly which kingdom does this serve. And so, yeah, discerning spirits is what we're called to do. It's not, some people think it's judgment, but it's really discerning spirits and calling things what they really are. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to learning and, you know, giving my input.
Absolutely. All right, well, we have a new guest to tonight's panel, and his name is Jamal. Jamal, welcome to Can We Talk Radio. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Jamal, man, what do you think is tonight's topic?
I think it's something that people overlook. People normally get afraid when it comes to a lot of spiritual warfare. I myself was pretty much victim to something like that. And just to briefly say, you know, if I had the experience of thinking about me casting out a demonic spirit, and at one point I felt that I was too afraid to do that. But, you know, learning that God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, and that he's implanted in us everything to conquer and to overcome every obstacle on this earth. So I think it's something that needs to be brought to everybody's attention, because there might come a point in time, you know, where that situation might happen, but it's just becoming more aware of what people, of more knowledge of people that people lack.
Absolutely. That's a good point. All right, well, good to have you back on the. I'm good to have you for the first time on Can We Talk. Next new host we have for tonight on tonight's panel is Mr. Tim Scott. Mr. Tim, how you doing, sir?
I am doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing blessed, man. Good to have you on Can We Talk, Tim. Tim, let me ask you, what do you think of tonight's topic?
I think it is a very good topic, especially since we know that we do not just deal in the physical world, that, you know, we deal in the spiritual, and the scripture actually tells us that. Once I actually realized it for myself, it's been something that I've tried to talk to a lot of people about and explain to them that we're not just dealing with the people that we see. There is a lot around us that is controlling us. So I just love the fact that it's out there and we can, you know, give some good input on it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, guys, if you're tuning in for the first time, we're talking about the importance of discerning of spirits. The number to call us, guys, is 347-945-7310. That number, again, is 347-945-7310. You guys can also email us at canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. Well, guys, it's time for the news. Mr. Ronnie, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I got one story here that I found interesting, and it goes to show, like, the climate, meaning, you know, what's actually the mindset of society. And so the story starts off by saying a 10-year-old girl is banned from writing about God by a Memphis teacher and told to remove the paper from school property. And so a Memphis area mother is angry with her daughter's elementary school after a teacher told her 10-year-old daughter she couldn't have God as a subject of her class assignment to write about her favorite idol. And so the student at Lucy Elementary in Millington, Tennessee, was told by her teacher to write about an idol she looked up to as part of her class assignment. The young student decided to write about God. She drew a diagram explaining why she looked up to God, one of the reasons being, and this is her quote, reason I'm on this earth. And so another quote is, I love God and Jesus, he is his earthly son. I also, Jesus, these are some of the things that she wrote in her paper and her assignment. And, you know, the 10-year-old went on to say, God is my idol. I'll never hate him. I'll always, no, he will always be the number one person I look up to. And so that's what the young girl was writing about. You know, they asked her to do that. But when the little girl's teacher received her assignment, she told the young girl that she was prohibited from picking God as her idol and demanded that she start the assignment all over again and choose a new idol. She was told that her assignment with God as her idol must be taken home and was not allowed to remain on school property. And so after having her first assignment rejected, the little girl picked Michael Jackson as her idol, which was reportedly acceptable to the teacher. And so, you know, I'm bringing this up just to show, you know, where we're at in the classrooms, because one, I know people might want to throw the church and state card out there, but the state cannot stop you from it can't stop you from expressing what you feel. You know, that goes against the First Amendment. And if you feel this way about God, the state can't keep you from saying how you feel about God. The state's just not allowed to push religion down your throat. So this wasn't a case for church versus state. And so, you know, I just want to pass it around the panel and get everybody's feelings on the fact that a little girl chose to write about God and was told by her teacher not only that she couldn't write about God, but they didn't even want that paperwork on the property. And so I'm going to pass it to Tim. You know, I know you got kids, and so I'm sure that would be a cool topic at your house. So how do you feel about that, this story right here?
Well, I mean, the first word that really comes to mind is really that it sickens me. I'm not surprised by it, but just the thing that's getting to the level that things are progressing to where they're trying to remove God away from everything. I had just recently seen how they were trying to pull the words "In God We Trust" off the dollar bill. And just to see that things are progressing so much, and now they're automatically just taking this from the schools, they're trying to say that we can't train up our children how we're supposed to train them. I mean, it's bad enough that they're already making it to where those transgender students can basically choose whatever bathroom they want to be in. So they'd rather force that on our kids than to let them learn something positive and learn about where we come from and where we're created. And frankly, if they really had more of God in the schools, we would have less people in the prisons, less people running around here crazy, you know, just doing so much. And me, as a Christian, I'm like, man, I want to teach my children the right way. And so I'm telling them every day, like, this is something that we do every morning. Me and my children pray with each other on the way to school. So for them to tell them that they can't have it in there, nor can they have it, it's like it's going against everything that I'm teaching. And that's why I say it sickens me, because we know this is coming, we know it's going to get worse, but just at the level that it's progressed in such a quick time, it's just, it's appalling, really. You know, it's just amazing to even see.
I agree. Mr. Rodney, you want to say something about this article as far as the little girl being discouraged from declaring that she's a believer and that she loves God?
Yeah. You know, I have kids in the school system right now, and I always talk to my kids, and we talk about God and Bible study and stuff like that, so I teach them the ways of God. But the one thing, you know, like the brother was saying, man, it's sickening to hear that. But at the same time, I'm not shocked by it, because all it is a spirit of Antichrist. That's all it is. And, you know, Satan is the god of this world, the god of this cosmos, the system. So, you know, of course, he don't want nothing that pertains to God, you know, in any environment, like especially like school, when they took out prayer out of school, took out God out of school and all that stuff, man, and then you see the decline, the moral decline. You know, that's why you got kids coming to school with guns and stuff happening in school, because you took God out. And when you take God out, you allow darkness to come in. And so, you know, and we're dealing with spirits that are operating, that's pushing the agenda of Satan. And here you, the teacher, whoever's open to be used, that's what he's doing. So, yeah, I'm not shocked. And that's why we as parents have to stay on the grind and continue to train up our children in the way that they should go. You know, that's really our responsibility, and teach them, you know, talk to them about these situations like this and why this is happening, why this is going on and stuff like that. So that's my thought on it.
Yep. Jamal, you want to say something about this article?
The first thing that comes to mind is how people lost sight of their first love. And it shows the urgency of why the Bible is so important to us and why it is so important for us to live this lifestyle that God called us to live, to be bold, to stay on the forefront for the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ and salvation to a fallen world. There's a scripture in 2 Peter in chapter 2 when it says that they have forsaken the right way and they've gone astray. And that just shows the urgency of why we need to continue in what we know is right, because there's too many people that have fallen and have gone astray and haven't even really tried to pursue the way of righteousness. They've just fallen to the trend. But, you know, the people of God, man, we will continue to grow and we will continue to lead by an example. And that really caused an urgency for people to continue to be real about God. And instead of, you know, these half-faiths, because I grew up in a lot of churches, you know, and just saw a lot of stuff when I didn't really have the understanding of a lot of mysteries to God's word. But now, you know, I have enlightenment on it now. But it's just calling us to, you know, to continue to be real and to not, you know, water down what we believe in.
That's right. Raz, you wanna add on to this?
Yeah, well, pretty much I just want to reflect on what Minister Rodney and the others have just talked about. I mean, if you would have told me 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that there was going to be a coming Christian persecution in the United States, I would have called you a liar. But now, it's just becoming more evident, man, that we're every day we're moving in that direction at a fast rate. And, you know, it's ironic that the title of today's show is The Discerning of Spirits. And in 1 John 4, chapter verse 1, he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And so as Minister Rodney was rightfully saying, that's nothing but an antichrist spirit. You know, and in the school systems, and I mean, even I heard a story right now where a lesbian officer told one of her subordinates, I think it was in the military, I think it was the Army or the Navy, and she asked him, what were your thoughts on gay marriage? And he said, I stick to whatever the biblical definition of marriage is between the man and the woman. She had that dude court-martialed, man.
Wow.
You know, she had the dude court-martialed, and he had some other disciplinary action against him, all because of his belief in the Bible. So it's not just in the school. It's everywhere, man. It's happening. So we need to wake up. We're in the last days of the last days. There's so many sophisticated forms of evil around us, and, you know, and we're going to be considered judgmental. We're going to be considered, you know, outcasts, if you will. And that's my comment, brother.
Well, that's true, you know, and I like the fact that everybody made the point that they're not shocked. And so, you know, the Savior said, I tell you these things beforehand so that you would know. And so we're, you know, people that are in their scriptures, you know, really won't be shocked by this type of behavior and this attack on the truth. And so, you know, I'm bringing these up so that people could see these things are happening in your lifetime. I'm not talking about ancient history. I'm talking about this month. This is what happened to a little girl. And then Tim brought up the fact that they're trying to erase In God We Trust off of the money. You know, that went before a judge. You know, the judge, he dismissed their case, but the climate is that there's atheist groups that are taking some of these issues to court, you know, this month and this week, you know what I mean? And so just for the believers, I just want you all to be aware that these things are happening right now. We're not talking about ancient history, and, you know, that's the news.
Absolutely. And speaking of the news, Ronnie, I had a few other pieces that I want to discuss tonight, if that's okay with you guys. And I was reading an article in Reuters, and it's titled Yoga in School, Not Same as Teaching Religion. And a San Diego, California judge ruled that yoga in a public school's fitness program does not amount to teaching children's religion because despite its roots in Hinduism and Hindu philosophy, it is part of American culture.
That's not true. That's crazy.
Right. The ruling denied a request by a family in San Diego suburb to ban the local school from including yoga in physical education, arguing that it violated the First Amendment and separation of church and state. Wow. Okay, so I know some of you are listening right now and are probably mad right now because you love yoga. You're saying it's innocent. What's wrong with yoga, Raz? You've been over the top with it. You're being too judgmental. It's only a form of exercise, Raz. It helps me achieve peace, tranquility. It helps me deal with the troubles of the world. It helps me with my arthritis. It helps me have a scentedness, that chanting stuff. Guys, listen, man, it's not of the Lord. Some Christians believe that it's okay. They've been led to accept this as okay. There are many churches right now that do Yahweh yoga or Christian yoga and believe that they have formed it to not worship Hinduism but to worship God. But let's break this down, guys. Yoga is demonic. Does that mean stretching and exercise is demonic? No, absolutely not. Here is yoga. Yoga is Hinduism, that there is a spark of divinity within you, which is pantheism, that there is not a creator or creation, and that all is collapsed into what we call oneism. The result is you don't go out to God, you go into self, and it's not about connecting to God through the mediation of Jesus Christ, but it's about connecting to the universe by way of meditation. Guys, that is paganism. We don't go into ourselves, we go out to Jesus. We're not trying to be one with the creation, we're trying to be reconciled back to the Father through the Son by the Spirit. Yoga, meditation, Easternism, is all opening doors to demonism. Well, Raz, when I chant the name of Jesus. Look, the demons don't really care what you chant as long as you're doing what they want you to do. You can get drunk and sleep with another man's wife and say Jesus. It doesn't make it right. So look, guys, demons are liars, they're deceivers, they're tricksters, and they're enslavers. Some of you think, I'll go to yoga and chant the name Jesus, and that's like just trying to treat the name of Jesus some magical formula and sprinkle that you can sprinkle over the demonic, and everything will all go away. Yoga is a worship act. It is offering your body as a living sacrifice to the spirit world. So if you sign up for yoga, you're signing up for a demon class. Yeah, I know it sounds harsh, but hey, that's the truth. Where does the roots of yoga come from? I'm sorry, where does the roots of yoga come from? Yoga opens up hidden spiritual doors known as chakras, and the physical exercises of yoga are designed to prepare your body for a spiritual entry by a kundalini spirit. Ronnie, I'm going to pass it to the panel. First of all, Ronnie, I know you know a lot about this. Ronnie, what are your thoughts about this article on yoga in schools?
Okay, I'm going to try to be brief. But it's a definite violation of church and state separation because yoga is an extension of Hinduism without a doubt. There's not one without the other. And so, it is a form of worship, and it is a form of religion, and the school system is out of bounds for even having that as an option, because that's the same reason why the Bibles were removed, because the Bible is just an extension of your faith, just as yoga is just an extension of Hinduism, and it's the same with Tai Chi is nothing but an extension of like Zen Buddhism. And so one complements the other. You don't have one without the other. The principles of Hinduism are going to go along with the yoga. And then, as far as you were bringing up the Kundalini spirit and things of that nature, yeah, it is a form of making yourself as God. And that's just what Satan promised Adam and Eve in the garden, that I'll make you like God. And so the formula or the theme is, once you've mastered your chakras to the point where you're at the highest degree and your crown chakra is activated, and now you become in tune or you become open or you become enlightened, and now you are like a Christ, which is a false. It's false. Two, it's truly blasphemy because it's saying that you could be God and there is no God. So, yeah, it's part of the state of things. The enemy is deceiving the whole world, and that's it.
Man, you know what, guys? If you're wondering who the true God is, look who they're trying to ban out of the schools. Look who they're trying to ban out of the military and every form of government and out of part of our society. They're not trying to ban Buddha. They're not trying to ban yoga and Hinduism. They're banning Jesus Christ. So if that tells you who the real God is, I don't know what will. Minister Rodney, what's your comment about this article?
It's like the brother was saying, man. It's definitely a form of worship, but it's not worshiping the true God. It's worshiping self. Actually, you're worshiping Satan and demons and stuff like that. But he puts it in a nice way. You know, he ain't coming with no tail and pitchfork. He coming to you in all kind of forms. And that's just one of the forms that he's using to get you to get caught up into him, and you open yourself up to all these demonic spirits. And then people don't understand why they have all this mess in their lives. And it's definitely a way that the enemy is deceiving people to get them to open themselves up to his agenda, to open themselves up to every demonic activity, you know, that Satan wants to use these people, you know, and it's just foul. It's a foul spirit, you know. So, you know, yeah, it's definitely something that needs to be addressed, and, you know, and that's my take on that.
Absolutely. Same question to you, Tim. What do you think of the article? And also, what do you think about Christians who are engaging in yoga who may not be aware or maybe not really care because they really enjoy the exercise aspect of yoga?
I think definitely people need to open their eyes to what's going on. It's like you said, they're not banning the other stuff like Buddha and all these other people and their religions, but they're banning Jesus. And it's funny how people would just look at it and say, oh, well, it's nothing. It's just, it's just releasing. Well, you know, stuff like walking down the street can give you the same inner peace, you know, or just sitting still and just, you know, staring at a lake or something. Like, why do we have to keep searching for so many other things to bring us peace when the peace is sitting right there? You know, we have a peace that is beyond the immeasurable. Like, you can just sit there. I know myself as being a believer, I can just sit sometimes and just be in awe, like, wow, like, this was created for us. And at the same time, be like, wow, like, people are just totally not even seeing what's going on. We move so fast, we just tend to ignore things. But it's like people don't understand that those spirits that they're letting in, it may be subtle, but it's just like how you watch a scary movie. You know, you may think, oh, well, that's nothing. I was, you know, I just seen that little ghost or something on there. But next thing you know, you're starting to be tormented by strange spirits and stuff. And you're saying, oh, I don't know where it came from. Well, it's because you opened yourself up to it. But that also goes back to how, you know, people use drugs to open themselves up at the same time. And, you know, they're not knowing that eventually those drugs are going to have you start seeing things or start acting certain ways because you've already let certain spirits in inside. And next thing you know, you're acting crazy and you think it's just normal. But once you actually have that awakening experience, you look back at things and you say, oh, wow, like, I didn't realize that I was doing so much. But it's because somewhere along the way you opened yourself up, you know. And it's done with alcohol and drugs and music and movies and even yoga, you know. Things that we can find as a relaxation thing can be harmful to us.
Absolutely. Jamal, do you have anything you want to add to that?
I don't. And only because I'm just grateful that I had no idea. So hearing something about that, dealing with yoga, you know, now I've been given some information to go to the people that I know of that have participated and want to participate in yoga. So I've just been grateful to hear this information so that way I can get a better understanding so that I can inform those around me, because I had no idea.
Absolutely, man. That's a good point. Now, Ronnie, man, I mean, people listen to this that are the Christians. They do yoga. They do it consistently. I know a lot of people that, you know, some good friends of mine that do yoga on a consistent basis. They really enjoy it. What we just said today, I mean, are we sounding harsh? I mean, did that sound harsh? Or, I mean, are we speaking truth? Hey, Ronnie, I'm sorry. Repeat what you said. I had you on mute, bro. Ronnie?
Oh, hello?
Yeah, go ahead and repeat what you said, man. I had you on mute by accident. My bad.
Okay, the truth is better than, you know, being lied to. And, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily that the truth is harsh, but that it's you're just not familiar with it. And so, you know, it might rub you the wrong way to begin with, but once you walk in the truth and start to see the truth prove itself, you'll be happy that, you know, you heard it clearly and plain as it is. So, no, you know, speaking the truth is what we're supposed to do.
Absolutely. Now, guys, real quick, I want to go into a really quick article, the next news headlines that I thought was really important I want to discuss today. And that's men can be wives and women can be husbands as government overrules the dictionary. And check this out. The word husband will in the future be applied to women, and the word wife will refer to men. The government has decided the landmark changes contained in the fine print of new official legal guidance drawn up for the government's same-sex marriage bill. It comes as part of a government initiative to clarify what words will mean when gay marriage becomes law. This means that husband here will include a man or a woman in a same-sex marriage, as well as a man married to a woman. In a similar way, wife will include a woman married to another woman or a man married to another man. Again, I want to pass this around to the panel to get your take on this. I'll first pose this question to Brother Jamal. What do you think of this topic or this news headline?
Man, that's just way out there. Wow, that's way out there. It's a trip. You know, I say to a lot of people, it's funny that, you know, the devil is very bold. The devil is very bold and has no shame. And I believe it's going to take, you know, strong leaders to be in that same manner, and, you know, to be bold about what is right and what we believe in, and to walk in the way that Jesus called us to walk in. I was at a show on this past Wednesday night, and was talking to the audience and telling them how it's, you know, the same-sex relationships, they're getting younger and younger. And when you look at the household, you know, it's like, well, what's going on in that household? Because the Bible is very true in what it says. And for us to, you know, as believers, man, to know that we know what is right, and it just shows evidence that, to me, I understand now when the Bible is saying that we're in our last days, or we're in the last days, because 5 years ago, I would have never thought that we would be hearing information like this, or, you know, we wouldn't see the days getting more evil and more evil every single day with what's going on in today's society. So, you know, it's like, wow, you know, this is not a joke. This is for real. This is real.
Yeah. Wow. Absolutely. Mr. Watney, do you have anything to add to this news headline?
Yeah, well, you know, it's sickening, brother, to even hear what's going on, man. But, you know, it's the way of the world. It's like living in Babylon, man. It's totally anti-God, you know, and that's what Satan is all about, man. That same agenda that he's pushing, all the same-sex marriage stuff and trying to define what, you know, what husband and wife is and all that, man. It just you know, it's signs of the times, man. The hour is getting closer. You know, people are living in deception. You know, the Bible talks about how sin put blinders on people's eyes, man, and that, you know, people can't see. You know, they don't know. And even it's even gotten even to the point to where this stuff has crept into the church, where, you know, you have pastors, you know, coming out talking about, you know, they're gay and it's okay. And one pastor I heard, he said that, you know, can the clay stay to the potter? You know, thus and thus.
Wow, what? He said what?
Yeah, that's what the pastor said. He used the scripture.
Come again, brother. Please.
He said, can the clay say to the potter, thus and thus, as far as that the potter, which he's clarifying as God, and he's the clay, so he's saying that God made him that way. So he's gay, and he's a pastor. And his justification is that God made me this way. And, you know, and the Bible talks about how there are seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, seducing spirits is what draws you away from the truth. It draws you away from the word of God. And doctrines of devils is what keeps you in the sin. Now you begin to justify the sin. You know, so with all this stuff, man, basically, man, it's a lot of deception going on by the enemy. The Bible calls him a father of lies. He's a creator of lies. He can't do nothing but lie. He cannot tell the truth. And if you receive anything, you can receive a lie, and that lie can become truth to you. And that's what's going on in the world, you know, because they don't know God. You know, they don't know the truth. So, you know, they just fall for anything that the enemy puts out there. And it's sad to see it when it begins to kick the church, you know. And like my brother was saying, that we who know the truth, one, ought to walk in the truth. Two, we ought to declare the truth in our lifestyle, in our way of life, and be ready to stand for the truth that we say we believe, you know. And it's a shame when you ask a pastor, it's homosexuality. And I saw this on TV. I'm not going to say the pastor's name, but it's a shame when somebody asks a pastor if homosexuality is sin, and he can't give the person a straight answer because he's trying to be politically correct. To me, you know, sit down, brother. If you can't, if you're not going to tell you, sit down. and get yourself together. You know, and it's just sad, but I can go on and go on, but that's my take right there.
What? Man, we need to have a quick break. Hold on a second. All right, I'm back. Man, that's crazy, man. Wow-wee. Woo! Okay, Mr. Ronnie, I know you got a lot to say about this article, man. Let's hear it.
No, it's been said, man. It's been said. It's showing the signs of the times. It's showing the temperature and the state of things. And like Minister Rodney said earlier, just as the scripture says, Satan is the god of this world. The scripture says he's going to deceive the whole world. Book of Revelation says, is this the one that weakened the nations? And this is where we're at. We're seeing the effects of the enemy through his society. That's whose society this is. This is the enemy society, and, you know, to further confuse, because that's what the enemy's, his merchandise is confusion. So to further confuse everybody, he's gonna make it lawful according to his demonic society for men to be men and women to be women when God doesn't make mistakes. You know, when you look at yourself and you look at what you were made with, that tells you what you are. And if you don't want to accept the truth that's growing from your body or that's, you know, on your body, then you do want the lie. And the sad part is you will be given over to a great deception, a delusion, because you have, we're built with free will, you know, and you want to use your free will to walk in truth, not to live in deception just because it's pleasing to the flesh. Or it's acceptable to the, you know, it's easier to go with the flow and the course of this world. So, you know, it's just like we were saying earlier. We're not shocked, but I'm glad we're putting these things on the table to let some believers know that these things are happening right now. As you're walking around and you're declaring the blessing and you're looking for your harvest, the enemy is putting things in effect that are going to derail your children, that are going to have to put you in a position to stand up for your faith, meaning you might have to turn some things down that will please your flesh, and you might have to speak the truth to people that you might not ever see again, but sowing the seed of truth in their life is greater than pacifying somebody living a foul lifestyle. So, you know, that's. I'm just glad you're bringing this information out.
You know, guys, I mean, you know, those people that are confused of their sexuality, you may want to chop things off and tuck things in and take hormones and those things to try to recreate who you are. But God is too smart for that. He has something called DNA, genetic coding, that tells you who you are, if you're a man or a male or a female. You can't escape that. And that's my comment. Brother Jamal, man, do you have anything to say about this article?
Oh, well, I was the first one who gave my little bit.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. Tim, did we get you, Tim?
He's on mute.
Yeah.
No, I'm here. I took it off. It's strange. You know, I've had that conversation with people, and people have a million excuses on why they think the way they think. But ultimately, it's like, man, sin is sin no matter what, and you're not going to escape it. That's stand before God and say, I think you made a mistake. You know, they want to throw that only God can judge me thing out there. It's like, all right, well, God is going to judge you, and he's not going to judge you like one of these TV shows where it's like, oh, you know what, we're just going to let you off. No, he's going to judge with a heavy hand, and it's like, all right, you can excuse and take the bait of the world and say, well, you know, I was made this way, and, you know, you can say whatever you want, but ultimately it doesn't matter because, you know, we're going to answer to somebody. And my thing is, it's just better to atone on this earth before, you know, you even leave, before you stand before God, because God don't make no mistakes, and he's not going to let you get away with it.
Absolutely. And you know, for those of you who are listening, you know, we're not coming against anybody. We're not trying to put anyone down. We're just, guys, the world is changing. The world is seriously changing for the worse, and we're just trying to stand up for biblical truth. we're trying to stand up for the things that, you know, Jesus Christ stood for when he was on this earth and the things that he entrusted with us to uphold and continue to, you know, uphold the name of God, man. So that's what we're passionate about. So if you're hearing our voices of the passion and, you know, the shock, you know, we're not coming against nobody. We don't hate nobody, but we really have to stand for something, and that's for Jesus Christ and what he taught us when he was on the earth, to respect the Father by hating the things that he hates, by loving the things that he loves. And that's my comment. So, guys, look, we're talking about tonight's show, which is the importance of the setting of spirits. The number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number, again, is 347-945-7310. Well, I want to ask this question, and why is the setting of spirits so important? There is a vast difference between natural discernment and spiritual discernment. When it comes to natural discernment, you will find many people have a gift at doing that. They can see people's faults a mile off. In discerning of spirits, one is able to see or perceive into the spirit realm and know the roots of issues and true motives of people and situations, whether from a good or evil spirit. In other words, there is an ability to skip to the bottom line faster and to not be sidetracked by the appearances of things. So again, why is the ability to discern spirits crucial, especially in this day and time? And I had a few points that I've written down, and the first point is to understand God's will. The Father clearly communicates to us his purpose for our lives, but we must be able to hear his guidance regarding every decision we make, so you have to be discerning. Point number two, being able to distinguish truth from error. The two are often mixed, so a discerning spirit is essential to separate them. This is especially important for parents who are sending children to college. Without a discerning spirit, young people can become spiritually confused for the rest of their lives. Point number three, spiritual discernment is important to avoid being deceived by sin. Many things that are pleasurable are also for a moment, but they're not beneficial. This is why we must ask ourselves, what are the consequences of this action before we make those choices? For example, a certain song may make you feel good, but its message may have a negative impact on us spiritually. The next point I want to make is being able to differentiate between good and best. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are expected to be more than good enough. We should always give him our very best. Also, having a discerning spirit will keep us from making quick decisions we'll later regret. Why? Because we didn't wait for God's best. My next point is this. It's important also to recognize when God is speaking, so you have to be discerning. God created each of us with a plan and a purpose for our lives, so he will always give us clear directions and guidance. But we have to be able to look past what we see, hear, and feel to comprehend how God views a certain situation. And my last point on why spiritual discernment is important is to receive godly counsel. When looking for godly counsel, it is essential to seek out individuals who give advice based on the Word of God and not their philosophy or worldly wisdom, and not just his or her feelings. We should always ask how God sees the situations we find ourselves in and what he would have us do about that. Minister Rodney, what do you think about my comment, and do you have anything to add to why spiritual discernment is very important, in this, especially in this time and day?
I think to have a discerning spirit, man, you need to, for one, the Bible talks about how God has given us the Holy Spirit. And that the Bible says that he would teach us and lead us and guide us into all truth. And he's also called the Spirit of Truth. So to even start, to even discern, you know, truth from error, you know, you have to have a relationship with the Word of God. You have to have a relationship with the Spirit of God. you know, and be led by the Spirit, because there was an incident that happened with me this week. I went to lunch with a coworker, and this brother, we go on getting some food, and this brother pulls out a joint, and he lights it up, and then he tried to pass it to me, and I'm like, man, I don't smoke weed, you know. I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again believer. I laid that down when I got saved. And the brother was like, well, I'm a Christian too. And then we had this little conversation, you know. He was saying, you know, well, you know, the Bible says we can eat and of every herb and all this natural stuff. I said, well, weed is not natural, brother. That stuff is laced with so much stuff. That stuff is not natural. And I said, for one, you know, it's sorcery is what you're doing. You're taking drugs. And the Bible talks about sorcery, which is the work of the flesh, in Galatians 5. You know, it gives you a list of the works of the flesh. But because he told me that he was told by somebody else that it was okay to smoke weed as a Christian because it's a natural herb of the ground. Now, we know that that's deception. See, he did not discern the spirit of truth between the spirit of error. See, he got caught up in the spirit of error because, for one, he's not in the Word of God. Two, I don't even think he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And three, he's justifying what he's doing because he's operating in the flesh. And see, the spirit of error is always going to appeal to your fleshly man, you know, to get you falling. Because see, Satan is always going to put out stuff that's going to appeal to your flesh, you know. And I just straight told him without even getting in further argument with this brother, because I see he was set on what he believes. And, hey, that's what you believe. But I know for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm not judging you, brother. But what I'm saying is, I don't have a need to smoke weed. I don't have a need to drink. I don't have the need to do the things that I was doing before I got saved. You know what I'm saying? So it's very important, man, because there's so much lies and deception that the enemy throws at people. And, you know, they believe it and receive it as truth. And, you know, and that's why you have to discern between the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. And the truth is what the Word of God says. The Word of God is God's will. The Word of God is God's heart. The Word of God is the foundation that he has given for us, you know, basic instructions before leaving earth, which is the Bible, which is the Word of God. You know, anything outside of the Word of God is error. Anything that's outside of what God has already said according to his Word, I don't care where it's coming from. I don't care if it's coming from one of the major televangelists on TV. I don't care. See, I don't get caught up in that. If you're not speaking the Word of God with clear revelation, clear understanding, clear truth, you know, because the Bible talks about in 2 Timothy 3 that in the last days, you know, that many will depart from the truth, you know, and be lovers of themselves, and it gives a list, you know. And so it's very important, man, because, you know, you have to discern truth from error. And there's all kind of errors that's going on. And the Bible talks about how while people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge, which you can also say that people are destroyed because of a lack of discerning right from wrong, you know, discerning between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And that's my comment.
Absolutely. That's an awesome point, Mr. Rodney. I want to pass that next question to Tim. Brother Tim, same question to you, sir. What's your thoughts about the importance of discerning of spirits, especially in the time and day when we're faced with so much confusion?
Well, I got a couple things floating around on that one. First off, it's what I tell everybody, that to be a believer, you first have to accept the fact that almost everything you've ever known, if not everything, have basically been a lie or based upon a lie. And on top of that, it's like you have to look at people, and like the Bible says, you'll know them by their fruit. And, you know, a good tree is not going to produce bad fruit, and a bad tree is not going to produce good fruit. So with that in mind, it's like we're all raised with basic morals. Like when we're coming up, we know right from wrong. And somewhere along the way, you know, wrong ends up being right and right ends up being wrong. And a lot of people, you know, they look at it as, you know, well, this just seems right or it is right. And when you try to explain it to them, they, of course, nobody wants to hear it because they're already so used to that bad spirit. They don't really know what that true discernment is. But it's like for us to try to share it, you know, it seems foreign. But like Brother Ronnie said, like the truth is the truth. And no matter what, that just because they may not have it, you know, we have that discernment and we can try to help as many people as we want with it. But we're just in a time where nobody really wants to hear it, you know. But at the same time, we're not going to stop because we're trying to show people, you know, the truth. But whether or not they pick it up right then and there, we're going to keep on sharing what we're sharing because, like me personally, I see a lot of things that others don't, but that's my discerning spirit because I can, you know, just walk around and just see the way things are going and see the way people are acting them, and it lets me know, all right, well, do I approach them this way or do I approach them that way? But at the same time, like, the good spirits, like, I work at a county building, and a lot of times people will come in and they'll sit and it's like our spirits will kind of gravitate to each other, and I always end up talking to somebody who's a believer. They say, hey, look, well, you know, my spirit told me, like, you're something good, you know, because of the way you're sitting here. Like, you stand apart from everybody else. And, you know, that discernment right there lets me know, like, all right, well, is this person being all the way real? Is this person half-stepping? You know, because eventually it's all going to come out. But just it's very important to know how to distinguish the two, but you have to look at it as the right and wrong and, you know, and go from there. You got to go back to that original voice that was telling you, hey, look, that's wrong and that's right. You know, a lot of times we shut it off. You know, I used to tell people all the time when I was in the world, I bragged about it, that I didn't have a conscience. And everybody would tell me, like, everybody has a conscience. And I said, no, I don't have one, period. And it was like something I took pride in until one day I really sat back and I heard a voice tell me something. And it went against everything that I was standing for, but it scared me because it wasn't just a little inner thought in my head. It was like I actually heard it, and it was like, well, hold on, like, what was that, you know? And that was one of the things where discernment first kicked into me. I had no clue what that word even was until somebody mentioned it to me, that I had to discern whether that was God talking to me or Satan talking to me and know whether it was the right or the wrong thing. And ultimately, I knew it was God because, you know, like, I had never heard a voice like that, and it changed everything the way I started looking at things because I knew then and there, like, wait a minute, I was dead in my sin, and for me to hear something go against it, you know, the devil's not going to try to trick me even worse. Well, he could trick me even worse by trying to make me think that something was okay or not good, but this totally set me in another direction, and it was just being able to discern. I had to go back and read it and find out what that word was, and you know, just starting to try to look at things with the spiritual eyes instead of the worldly eyes, it opened me up to so much more than just the natural things that were around me. Like, my discernment just, you know, it opened my mind, basically.
What's up, young kid?
Absolutely. Ronnie, I want to ask you this question, same question to you, Ronnie. And, you know, Ronnie, we have people probably listening right now who are probably not believers and don't know what spiritual discernment is. So if you don't mind, sir, please, give us a basic definition of spiritual discernment. I know I kind of touched upon that in my introduction. And what are your thoughts about why the importance that we have such a need and an importance for people to walk in spiritual discernment, especially what's going on in today's culture?
Okay, well, let me attempt here at explaining discernment. I'm going to try to, you know, equate discernment to being able to pick out what is right as opposed to what is wrong, because there's a definite line between what's beneficial to you and what's harmful to you, and you don't go around mixing the two or not knowing which is bad for you and which is good for you. So when you're using discernment in a situation, you're trying to come out and identify whether what's before you is helpful or harmful. And so, you know, you can understand that physically by, you know, if I go to a certain area of town, you know, if it's a rough neighborhood, you know, I might not, you know, have my jewelry exposed, or, you know, I might not go there at night, because you're using your discernment to be able to tell you whether it's a safe place to be or not. Is it helpful or is it harmful? You're identifying what you're dealing with or where you're going. And so when you're dealing with discernment spiritually, what you are identifying is whether the motive of this person comes from a place that is of God or that is of disobedience to God. And so when you're dealing with a person, you know, I think Tim said it earlier that, you know, it's not necessarily the person that you see, but the spirit that they're being ruled, that's ruling over them. And so, you know, you can begin to identify or discern by seeing what are their habits, by seeing their speech, what's coming out of their mouth, what are their desires, what, you know, for lack of words, what makes them tick. And then you can pretty much identify whether this person is under the influence of the spirit of truth or the spirit of disobedience. And so that would be my take on discernment. And so discernment basically is identifying whether what I'm dealing with is approved by God or does God disapprove by what I'm dealing with. So I'm trying to identify, does this habit that I have, does it serve God or does it make me an enemy of God? And then you go from there to decide who you want to please, the Father or yourself. And as far as having discernment in this time, I mean, it's a must, because the enemy is a subtle enemy. And he's going to come in. He's not going to come in with the horns and the fire. He's going to come in and make it look sweet. I think Brother James said that earlier. I mean, Mr. Rodney said that earlier, that he's going to come in and make it look like something that might even be beneficial to you, just like in the garden. You know, he promised them that they would be as God. And there's a bunch of things that we deal with, that we pass through our hands, that we allow into our hearts, that we aren't using discernment for, and, you know, they could take us off course. And so, you know, being able to identify whether something is helpful or harmful spiritually to me, does it have, what is the spiritual effect of this music? What is the spiritual effect of these habits? What's the spiritual effect of, you know, my desires? You know, this is the call for discernment, and this is where you use your spiritual discernment to see what's the spiritual consequence.
Absolutely. You know, the next point I want to go into is familiar spirits, palm reading, psychics, metaphysics, ancestral worship, you know, be it African or Native American. A lot of people, you know, especially non-believers, they don't think it's a problem going to get your palm read, reading your horoscope. They don't think it's a problem. You know, a lot of them seem amazed when they go to psychics and the psychic's able to tell them that your dead father, your dead mother, your dead auntie is talking to you. She's telling you that you know, certain situations, and they're pretty much amazed that they know exactly what their dead relative knows, but they don't understand that that's a familiar spirit, and because they're not discerning, they're being deceived. They actually think that they're communicating with the deceived loved ones. So I want to pass that comment to Minister Rodney. Minister Rodney, what do you think about, you know, just people in general who are, they're not believers. They, you know, they may be believers but not very educated in the Word of God, and just you know, go to these types of avenues to gain some sort of spiritual peace. Minister Rodney, do we have you on the line? Okay. Ronnie, you want to take that question?
Yeah. As far as the what a believer, okay, let's say it's a believer dealing with extra-biblical spirituality stuff, you know, like the palm reading and, you know, going to the psychic. What they don't realize that they're doing, you're committing spiritual adultery, because you're now relying on the spirit that's working in the psychic or the card reader. And so now you're no longer keeping your trust in the Father, but you've gone over and given your trust to something else that is outside of, you know, that it's outside of the source that you say that you believe in. And so once you, when you're doing these things, and some people think it's harmless, some people think it's cute, but what it truly is, if you've given your life over to God through the Savior, you're committed spiritual adultery, and, you know, there's a consequence to that. And you were saying familiar spirits. I don't know if everybody understands that term. It's just that when you go to a psychic palm reader or something like that, and you want to summon the spirit of a relative, you're not dealing with the relative. You're dealing with a demon. The demon is using this medium, which is the person, to lure you into this spiritual adultery. And, you know, they'll use a familiar person, whether it be a dead relative or a friend, to entice you to give your devotion over to this, you know, illegitimate spiritual authority. But, yeah, it's basically spiritual adultery. That would be like, you know, a husband who has a wife, but he goes outside of the marriage for female pleasure or counsel. That's exactly what you're doing when you're dealing with the psychics and mediums. You're going outside of your relationship with God.
Absolutely, that's an awesome point. I want to talk about being discerning in modern day entertainment such as music. How can Christians be discerning between good and evil in the area of entertainment, movies, music, especially the music? And Brother Tim, I know that you're in the music industry or have some association with the music industry. What is your take on that?
Well, I'll give you my own personal experience on that one. I worked in radio for 3 years, and I eventually had to walk away because basically I turned into a whole other person, didn't really realize it, but there was a mixture between the lifestyle, the music, and drugs and everything. Now, once I was actually introduced to Christian rap, it took a hold like wildfire to the point where that's all I listen to now. And, like, I really enjoy it, and it's just not the fact that of what it is, but just the fact that I can relate to a lot of it, and it gets me away from the other things. And looking back on it, I can see that music actually, a lot of people won't admit it, but music gets into you, and you start mimicking a lot of what you hear, and even with videos, what you see. And it's basically a spirit that you're getting from it. Like, there's only so long you can listen to somebody talk about murder before you want to start murder, you know, or there's only so long you can hear these guys talk about getting money and drinking and everything before you start to emulate what you're hearing. You know, they're basically giving this spirit off. But a lot of people don't realize it goes a lot deeper. And if they start actually researching, you know, there's been many people that have said that a lot of these artists or their labels, you know, people are practicing witchcraft, and they're actually putting spells over the music to send spirits wherever that record goes. And I can't even remember the guy's name, but I found a video on YouTube. This guy was explaining how that's, you know, something that was like it was a mandatory thing for you to know certain words and certain spells and things to put on that music, because they want you to, you know, pick those spirits up. And it's something that a lot of people will say is fake, and they don't understand it. But when it comes down to it, I know for myself that when I stopped listening to the secular music, it changed everything. You know, before I even got on the Christian rap, I stopped listening to the stuff I was listening to for about 2 weeks, and my whole attitude changed. It's like it was a weight lifted off my shoulder, because you know, I just didn't have that filth, and I knew then that wasn't the road to be going on. Like, my spirit was telling me, hey, you don't need to listen to this. And for a lot of people, it's different, but for me personally, it hit me, and I said, I don't want to listen to that stuff ever again. And although I'm in the world, and, you know, I'm going to be around it, like whether somebody's driving down the street or something, or I'm at work or whatever, I'm going to end up hearing it. But myself, I choose not to, because I don't want to pick up on certain things. I don't want to hear on a song somebody talking about going home and smacking the old lady, and then I come home and the first thing I think of is smacking my old lady. You know, I don't need that. I don't want it. I pray against these things all the time. But it's out there, and people need to understand the devil is very real. You know, instead of sitting waiting for the red guy with the, you know, long pointy beard and the pitchfork, you know, he's not coming at them like that. He's coming at them in the form of these entertainers who are making everything look so glamorous and beautiful, but ultimately it's nothing but filth and a road to sin that we just really don't need.
Absolutely. That's an awesome point. Ronnie, man, people are wondering right now, like, is all music bad? I mean, if it doesn't say God, then is all music bad? And, you know, for me personally, there are certain beats and bass lines and things of that nature, certain chords that are really not the way they're structured, they can be demonic. Yet sometimes they're backdropped by beautiful words that speak about God. So I mean, how does one really discern what's really music that is really edifying God? And because not all music, for example, I like jazz music. You know what I mean? I like jazz music. I also like music that you can probably do maybe some line dancing to. You know, how does one really really discern what's really harmful to one's spirit?
Well, discerning what's harmful, you know, you would have to evaluate it. You'd have to, when I'm dealing with something like that, I would have to find out where does it come from? What is its origin? And when you get when you find out the origin of something that you're dealing with or that you're interested in, that should help you identify and discern whether it's for you or not. And so, you know, depending on where it comes from, you know, that would make it or break it for me. Like if I know it comes from somebody who's a devil worshiper, then, you know, I pretty much shouldn't mess with that. Or if I know this music comes from someone who doesn't know God, not that they're necessarily a negative person, but the thing is, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of the Father. And so, you know, you just want to find out where things come from. But to miss that whole thing all the way, what's harmful is you make your own song. You make your own praise songs. You make your own music to the Father and things of that nature. But, yeah, to discern, you know, really I would start with what's its origin? Where does it come from, you know? And that's pretty much it.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, let's talk about real quick. Let's talk about Jay-Z. Let's talk about who called himself Hova. Let's talk about Kanye West. And a few of those other people out there who, you know, I was actually watching, I think I talked to you about this, Ronnie, Pastor Torrey from One Church International out in L.A. and Hollywood, who has a church that is catered and geared towards those people who are in the arts and entertainment industry. And, he has a safe haven for them where they can really express themselves and be who they really want to be, but at the same time have meaning in their lives. I have been to his church a few times. And definitely music that you can jump to. I didn't notice him having an altar call. But he actually apologized to Destiny's Child, to I think Kelly Rowland and the other lady names, I think her name's Michelle, right? He actually apologized for the church being judgmental against Destiny's Child, you know, calling Beyonce, devil worshiper and whatnot, and stuff like that. And, he talked about Kanye's West Jesus Walks, he referred to that as a gospel song, when really it's not a gospel song. He's talking about a drug run, and he's talking about how Jesus should protect me. So so I don't get killed while I'm doing this drug run. And, you know, he talks about that, you know, and even in MegaFest when you had Kiki Sheard, you know, talking about Kanye West and things of that nature and Jay-Z, that we shouldn't put our mouth on them. But at the same time, they're speaking things that Jesus, they sing that Jesus is, Jesus had kids, he had sex and all kinds of stuff like that, blaspheming the name of Jesus Christ. But we shouldn't judge those guys for saying that. Are you kidding me? We need to talk about that, man. Let's address that real quick.
You want me to say something about it?
Oh, please.
Well, like I said, I'm not trying to bash nobody. Because I believe, like, I recently spent, like, this last 2 weeks listening to the music on the radio. And I've come to the conclusion that these people have a lack of understanding of Scripture. I'm saying the artists, as far as like Kanye West and Jay-Z, I really don't think that they understand or have even opened up Scripture or at all. And I believe it's hard for them to get a teacher to teach them without being awestruck. And so, you know, I really don't think they're literate to the Word of God. They really don't know it. And like I said, in the position that they have, with a lot of these weak leaders, a lot of these carnal and, you know, financially driven leaders, you know, when they get in the presence of these guys, they probably, you know, are worse than any groupie and, you know, all smiles and, you know, just like you said, the brothers apologizing for Kelly Rowland and Michelle, I don't know what her name is, but all their music is about promiscuity. They're not singing songs about being happily married and being fruitful and multiplying. They're singing songs about, you know, just having sex, casual sex and carnal things. And you're supporting that desire in society, and you're making it okay. And so, you know, we should say something about that as believers. You know, you shouldn't apologize for somebody calling it what it is. But you know, I like I said, I can't come against them because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but I know spiritually they're deficient as far as knowing the truth, and they, you know, and it shows in their music, it shows in what they say, and you know, that's pretty much it.
Absolutely. Tim, you have anything to add to that?
Ronnie basically hit it. These brothers may not realize what they're doing, or even if they do it, you know, they at this point I think they don't even care. But you know, they're really just leading a nation of individuals astray, because people think that it's acceptable for them to do these things, and if nobody really speaks up, you know, it's just going to go unnoticed. And you know, unfortunately, they may not have anybody in their corner who can actually explain to them, you know, the right things or hold them accountable. You know, if I actually knew some of these dudes, you know, I would actually speak up and say it, you know, but I don't get to speak to them, but all I can do is just tell people around me about the dangers of it and, you know, where they're at. In fact, like right now, while we're having this conversation, I'm also on Facebook trying to talk to one of my young family members who loves to preach Christ, but just posted something about how he wanted to go get drunk, and he's offended because one of his buddies is saying, "Hey, look, man, like you're confusing me because you preach Christ, but you're speaking about getting drunk," and you know he's offended, and I'm trying to explain to him, "Hey, man, you know, I don't know who may have put that idea out there that it's okay, but you're being a stumbling block to somebody now, and now a non-believer just spoke and said, hey, yeah, that's not cool, you know," and it's basically what's going on with these other artists. You know, they're being stumbling blocks, and nobody is really saying, "Hey, look, man, like what you're doing ain't cool."
Absolutely, good point. You know, I want to talk about fake pastors, preachers, false doctrines, being able to discern, and we look on TV. I mean, you know, you've had numerous conversations about this topic, and we know there's a plethora of TV evangelists out there. There's a plethora of mega churches out there, and that really seem very enticing. They have a very hip way of marketing the gospel, and, you know, that seems very attractive. For example, let's talk about MegaFest. I haven't been to MegaFest. I know a lot of people who went there. I'm interested in checking it out. But it seems to be, I mean, and again, I'm not trying to judge nobody. I'm not trying to judge, you know, that event. But at the same time, it seems less about Christ and propelling the gospel of Jesus Christ. It seems more about mixing with the world as far as, you know, trying to find out how we can market and blend a kind of pop culture and Christianity in with the world so the world can come in. So, I mean, Paul, if you look at the Apostle Paul, he didn't do that. You know, becoming a Christian is a choice you have to make. It's not an easy choice, but it's a choice nonetheless that you have to make. So, I mean, the Apostle Paul didn't try to dumb things down. He didn't try to blend the secular with what was holy. And you know, you're getting a lot of false prophets out there that can be very dangerous because they appear to be genuine. I mean, they have credentials of authority, and, you know, the Bible calls these credentials sheep's clothing. But these sometimes can be false prophets, you know, and you can, and they can be detected by their fruits, you know, and the proof of the root is in the fruit. Good trees produce good fruit, and rotten trees produce bad fruit. And you know, and the world we live in so right now, it's extremely dangerous because some of these pastors are, you know, they engage in acts of kindness and charity. They, you know, they perform good deeds, and they also have miraculous power. And they do these deeds performed under the pretext of being done by God's power. And you know, and I've seen some of these TV evangelists throwing up the devil horn sign as they're preaching and praise and worship. You know, man. Why, let's talk about that real fast, man. I mean, why are so many people duped by these preachers, man? I mean, there's also a talk show coming out pretty soon. It's a reality show. I'm sorry, and it's called Pastors of Los Angeles, Pastors of LA. And it's talking about, and actually, interesting enough, I think I told you this, Bonnie, that's coming out on Oxygen Channel. And Oxygen is owned by OWN, which is Oprah Winfrey's network. And Oprah Winfrey, she is, we know that her philosophy is not about Christ. It's about New Ageism.
Wow.
And so that's an interesting thing. But I guess the premise of the show is really talking about that pastors are human beings, too. They make mistakes like everybody else. They have urges and all kinds of things that everyone else does. And I guess it's trying to, you know, make them more human, or have the appearance of them being more human versus being more holy. And my question to you is that damaging the cause of Christ, or is that benefiting the cause of Christ?
Well, I believe it's going to damage. Look. First, you said, why are so many people, you know, falling for the false doctrines? It's because we got a lot of carnal Christians out there. Whether they were bred to be carnal, they might have been introduced to the gospel carnally, so they have to stay that way. And so I think there's a lot of carnal-minded Christians, teachers, and congregations out there. And I think they're the majority. And I pray that they come into the full knowledge of the Savior. But as far as that show, I believe it's going to hinder the truth that we walk in for those that fall for it. Because what it's going to do is despise the office of the pastor. Because what you're doing, you said it, that they're supposed to be regular people too and this and that. No, the Bible says they're supposed to be held to a higher standard. And so if this show doesn't reflect the higher standard that they're called to walk before God, they're not supposed to be walking before us. When they minister before God to us. You understand? But if this show doesn't reflect the fact that they're called to a higher standard, and if it actually despises them and puts them in a position of just, oh, I'm just an average Joe and I make mistakes too and things of that nature, if that's all it glorifies, if that's what it brings fame to, how much they shouldn't be listened to and how much, you know, they aren't anybody special, then, yeah, it's going to be a hindrance. And I'm sure, you know, because it's on television and, you know, media and society are the tools of the enemy, that it's not going to reflect the true calling of a pastor. It's just going to be a show-off thing. So it's an attempt at, you know, sticking a jab at the truth. But, you know, those that have ears to hear and eyes to see will not even be checking for that. They'll be going to the scripture to see what a pastor is supposed to be, not oxygen.
Absolutely. So what is your take on MegaFest, Wani?
Well, like I said, I've never been, but, you know, from what I've read and what I've seen, you know, I saw a commercial for it. As soon as, this is all I needed to see, that Oprah Winfrey was going to have a day where she had a life coach seminar. Now, Oprah Winfrey, I know I can look online and find where she says the Savior could not be the only way. And I don't think I can find anywhere where she's, you know, like changed her mind or anything like that. So if you're a leader, a pastor, and you give this person who doesn't believe Christ is the only way a platform in your event, then, you know, that's enough grounds to leave you alone and know that this thing is not to serve God or his people. And so, you know, that's the only part of MegaFest I needed to see to figure out where it came from or what it's really about.
Absolutely. And you know,
so, yeah, you know, have a party, you know, have a party, do industry stuff, but you don't have to put God's name on it to act a fool. Just, you know, just say you want to have a party.
Absolutely. You know, my thing is this, is that you have people like Oprah Winfrey on there, who's obviously, she's definitely not a believer, she's a New Age. And then she's associated with Deepak Chopra and the like, and all those kind of people, and you know, those people are all at MegaFest, which is supposed to be, you know, promoting the you know, the cause of Christ Jesus, man. So there's definitely a disconnect there. A lot of people don't see it. They, you know, they actually get offended when we mention that. But Tim, what are your thoughts on that?
I think the whole thing is it's really a sham. And like Rodney said, they could just come with something else. You know, they just want to basically everything goes one hand in hand, and they're out to destroy the name. They're not trying to promote it. Like that reality show, man. I think that is the worst idea possible. Like, God doesn't need a reality show. These guys, ultimately, all they're going to do is make people look at them and say, well, that's why I don't go to church, because they see the tomfoolery that these guys are doing, and all it's going to do is just produce false witness. You know, just like the whole thing with the MegaFest, you know, they can say what they want and doctor it up, but all they're going to do is just turn people away.
Absolutely. I mean, on the clip of Pastors of LA, you've got Dietrich Haddon, and he was like, you know, I left my wife and, you know, now I have a baby mama and all this other stuff, and he's living with this woman. They're not even married, but he's a pastor of a church. So you're right. What is that telling people who you know, and people are looking for any excuse under the sun to condemn Christians as it is. So when they see that, wow.
That's why I don't become a Christian, because you guys are hypocrites. You guys are just, wow.
Man. That's my point, people, man. So, yep, that's Wani, I want to ask you this question, man. What do you think about having discernment to be able to discern truth in Scripture versus deceiving doctrine? And I say this because
I don't think it's that complicated. You really have to have a level of discerning of spirits. I think that you just have to be more learned in the scriptures to understand or the ability to rightly divide the word of God. What do you think about my comment?
No, well, I think it's true. Like me and Tim, we always talk about, you know, discerning the scriptures. You know, even if we can't, I've heard Tim say this a couple of times, even if we might not see eye to eye on some practical issues, maybe because of difference in culture or difference in, you know, you might have grew up in a different time and you see things a different way. But when it comes to the scripture, this is where we line up. We line up with it because the truth in the scripture speaks for itself and it speaks to your spirit. And if you don't try to see it a way somebody told you to see it, if you just go and let the spirit of truth be your teacher by opening the scripture for yourself, asking God to help you understand what you're reading, you know, get a version that you know, cuts through all the poeticness and just gives you the meat of the word, you'll be better off because now you'll be blessed, meaning empowered, because you heard the word directly from God the way that he gave it to you. And so to be able to identify what God is saying in his word is the highest importance. You know, I've seen some people, you know, say the prayer, like the sinner's prayer to come to Christ, or, you know, you lead them to Christ, but if they don't take that next step and get into the word for themselves, you know, I don't know how far they'll be able to go, or I don't know, you know, what sort of defenses they'll have because they don't understand the promises and they don't understand the scriptures and, you know, the boundaries that it gives us as well as the liberty that it gives us. So discerning scripture is highly important, and I would suggest to anybody who's studying on their own to, you know, allow the spirit of truth to guide you, because a lot of people are misinterpreting scriptures to set up their own point of view, and they totally make the word of God of no effect because they've changed it. And so, you know, for anyone who's out there studying their word, continue to study your word, continue to seek God, because he left you that word so that you could know it, so that you could apply it to your life. And, you know, that's about it.
Absolutely. You know, for those people out there listening right now who probably don't go to church or are not a believer per se, but, you know, just don't go to things like, you know, tarot card reading and things of that nature without checking it out. Understand, try to get an understanding of what you're really getting yourself involved in. Understand its roots, its history, what the ramifications are. Just like you, before you go and buy a purchase a home or a car, you're going to do your research, right? You're going to look into, you know, what model it is and the benefits of that particular model. You're not just going to go ahead and buy it. Why would you just treat your spirit, man, like that? You know, take the time out to really investigate things, not because they sound good or it's popular culture, but really make sure that it's not going to harm you or your family in a negative way. So, guys, we're coming to the end of the show, and it's been a very sober show. And I just want to get your final comments from Brother Tim. Thanks for being on Can We Talk Radio. Tim, what's your closing comments for tonight, man? What do you think of tonight's show?
Oh, man, you know, I'm really into tonight's show. I think it's a very good topic. And, you know, basically we just got to keep our eyes open, man, and we got to start looking at things with a spiritual eye and not just the fleshly eye, man, because the wool is being pulled over us, and basically, you know, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. And, you know, people just need to understand what's going on out there.
Absolutely. Now, Tim, are you still involved in the music industry, or?
Yes. Yeah, actually, I have my own radio station. It's an internet radio station. It's mtbmusic.com. That's MTB Music. It stands for My True Belief. Yeah, everybody says MTV, but I'm like, no, it's MTB. And that came from a conversation with my mother where I basically said that I believe, and it's my true belief, that God can take anything the devil used to turn us away. he can take it and use it for his glory. And, you know, just like with the music, we don't have to listen to what's out there. We have options. You know, if people want to know, they can just go to my site, mtbmusic.com, and actually take a listen and hear something different. Or they can download the free apps. I've got Android app and iPhone app titled MTB Music. You can type that in the App Store. And then it'll also featured on TuneIn Radio. Just search MTB Music on TuneIn Radio, and they can also pick it up. And it's just a 24-hour stream of music. It's just giving people an alternative to what they're normally used to, you know. So they don't have the excuse of, well, I don't have anything that I can relate to, because, you know, it's hip-hop and R&B, or rap and R&B, and, you know, if they want to listen to some Christ Center music, they can go right there and check it out.
Absolutely, and I've been there before. I have the app on my phone, and the beats are banging. I mean, there's some nice beats. I mean, people have this kind of idea that because it's Christian, it's gonna sound boring. It's gonna sound, you know. But these are you know, holy inspired beats that are, you know, have a good vibe to it, you know, a good spirit behind the music. So that's awesome, man. But Tim, you gonna come back on the show?
Yeah, definitely. You know, as long as I'm invited, basically, I'll come back and get on anytime.
Absolutely. Therefore, we definitely have to do a collab with your. We may one of these days in the future do some sort of symposium, you know, maybe in a lounge somewhere in a hall where we maybe have your, you know, definitely feature some of your music on live in effect, you know. So definitely, that sounds like a plan. Brother Ronnie.
Yes, sir.
Man, it's been a very sober show, very interesting topic, and want to get your closing comments, sir. And what do you think of tonight's show?
Well, first, I'm thankful for tonight's show. I'm thankful for everybody that participated, you know, and my closing comment would be for, you know, any listener, believer in the living word of God or not, you have to discern, you have to identify what you're dealing with, whether this that you're dealing with, whether it be a situation, a person, a habit, is it harmful to me spiritually? And so this is what discernment is about. You know, we know the term, everything that glitters ain't gold. And the only way you can find out if what's glittering is not gold is by identifying or discerning whether it's true or false. So, you know, I just encourage everyone to, you know, first go look the word up. I encourage everybody to see what the Bible says about discernment. And I encourage everybody to apply discernment in their lives, over, you know, in your relationships and in your desires, discern whether they're from God or not. And that's it.
Absolutely. And I second that, Ronnie. I think that we had a decent show. And I think that it's really important, guys, like I said at the beginning, discerning of spirits enables you to really perceive what's real and what's not real. It helps you skip to the bottom line faster, so you will not be sidetracked. So, guys, you know, listen to the show intensely. You know, download it to your iPhones, your Android tablets, and listen to the show and do your research. Really, you know, look into what the setting of spirits is. Do a Google search and read your Bibles, man. And that's my comment. Tune in same time next week. I'm Raz Williams, your host. We'll see you same time next week for Can We Talk Radio from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.